Jury selection continued at the Roger Clemens perjury trial in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Some of the candidates didn't know who Clemens was, and at least one potential juror was excused for opining that corporate executives and politicians get away with lying to Congress all the time. The selection process is expected to last into the middle of next week. According to Associated Press legal correspondent Nedra Pickler, by midweek, Judge Reggie Walton had not determined whether former players who received performance-enhancing drugs from Clemens' former trainer, Brian McNamee, will be permitted to testify.
Yesterday, he said his tentative ruling is going to be that he's not going to allow those players to testify about the drugs that they took because it would unfairly prejudice the jury against Roger Clemens. However, this morning, he said he's thought about it overnight and he may change his mind.
The offspring of the bats Roger Clemens once broke with inside fastballs have also been breaking, and in recent years, that has become a safety issue. Shards from those bats have spun out over the field and flown into the stands. But the risks are declining thanks to a partnership between Major League Baseball and the U.S. Forest Service. Mitch Dyke of Milwaukee Public Radio reports.
The scene played out on a May evening at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, with the Rays' David Price pitching to Grady Sizemore of the Indians.
And a broken bat, look out. The bat right back over Price. That ball fielded by Zobrist, and Zobrist throws out Sizemore. Wow, you talk about a couple close calls.
David Price was lucky. The head of the bat only grazed his head on its end-over-end trajectory towards center field. Bats have always broken, of course, but Major League Baseball didn't step in to do something until 2008. Dan Halem is baseball's senior vice president and general counsel for labor.
We had more bats breaking into two pieces and flying around the field and in some cases into the stands than in prior years. And it was an issue that was noticed by the media, by clubs, by players, and by the commissioner. And, you know, the commissioner wanted to do something about it very quickly.
In other words, the problem wasn't that bats were breaking at all. It was that bats were splintering. And it came about not long after maple bats came on the scene. But while baseball noticed that, the league wasn't equipped to figure out why the bats were breaking the way they were. So Halem says they went looking for someone who could find the answer.
It's not that easy to find a wood scientist, so we did the easy thing. We called the federal government, you know, really to try to get a recommendation, and lo and behold, the Forest Service's Forest Products Laboratory said, we'll help you.
The lab is actually a campus of buildings in the heart of Madison, Wisconsin. Inside an imposing granite edifice, Dave Kretschmann has about two dozen baseball bats spread out on rolling carts and a conference table. Correction, two dozen broken bats.
I've been here for about 25 years. Our laboratory itself has been around for 100 years, so it's we know wood, and wood is good, as we say around here.
Kretschmann is a research general engineer with the Forest Products Lab. He heads the team Major League Baseball put together to look into why bats were splintering, or as he describes it, having multiple piece failures.
It comes down to the fact that the pitch is, you know, a very fast pitch, very strong players, and wood can only take so much loading before it actually breaks. That's just the nature of any material, actually. You can load any material to failure. Bats will break, but what your goal is to keep them in one piece rather than have them separate and enter the field of play or go out into the stands.
So Kretschmann and his team looked at broken bats, a lot of them. Every bat that was broken in the major leagues between July and September of 2008 came through his lab. And for a wood scientist, one key issue quickly became apparent, something called slope of grain. To explain, Kretschmann says to imagine the handle of a bat as a bunch of drinking straws.
It's strongest if the straws are going right up and down the barrel of the bat. But as they start to tip over to the side, wood is much weaker when it's loaded perpendicular to the grain or has a slope of grain in that handle. And so one of the things that you could really see when you spread all these bats out was that there was an issue with slope of grain in the handles of the bats that were breaking into multiple pieces.
Kretschmann says that was good because it could be addressed easily by having bat manufacturers pay closer attention to slope of grain. And that's what baseball required of the 30 companies that make bats used at the major league level. Since 2009, the number of multiple-piece failures has dropped by half. But there is another part of the equation, geometry. Handles are smaller, barrels larger, and bats less dense than they used to be. That is apparent underneath the stands at Fox City Stadium in Appleton, Wisconsin, where the Class A Wisconsin Timber Rattlers are taking batting practice. Most of these players are not far removed from using metal bats in college, and hitting coach Dusty Rhodes says they're looking for any advantage they can get, which means light bats and big barrels.
They got to get a bat they can use. They got to be able to handle it because they have to be able to adjust when you have two strikes. So it's a difference in mental part of it and physical part of it. They've got to learn how to hit the ball in the sweet spot of a wooden bat, which is kind of tough sometimes.
And it's not likely to change, even when bat safety is figured in. Rhodes says regardless of the level, players believe the best bat is the one with a lot of hits in it.
It's happened a lot of times in the big leagues where a guy will break a bat and doesn't have an extra bat sometimes. And somebody lets a guy borrow a bat, next thing you know, he goes on a tear with that bat, so he changes bats. You know, once they get on a tear with a bat, it's like falling in love with a pair of shoes. You don't want to lose them.
That means in ballparks in Wisconsin and around professional baseball, some of the timber will go on rattling into the foreseeable future. For Only a Game, I'm Mitch Teich in Appleton, Wisconsin.
It's 19 minutes past the hour. When you win, you celebrate. And when you win the French Open golf tournament, you celebrate by jumping into a lake and breaking your leg, thereby removing yourself from the British Open. Oh, wait, that's not right. You celebrate in some way that does not place any of your bones in jeopardy, and you proceed to the British Open filled with the confidence you've gained by winning the French. Yeah, that's the ticket. Or so Thomas Levitt, who won the French Open and then jumped into a lake to celebrate and broke his leg, must be thinking.